West Tigers fans, round one is won and done. Lots of upsets in the NRL over the weekend, and now it is time for the West Tigers to start their season. And with all those teams with the upset wins, who are the West Tigers likely or a chance to beat this year? We're going to discuss that on tonight's show. Welcome to another episode of the West Life Podcast. Welcome in to another episode of the West Life Podcast presented by Holman Barnes Group, the best place to watch the game. Finally can say this weekend, live and loud, the Tigers will take on the Canberra Raiders. We'll preview that game on Wednesday's show. But tonight, one last off-season episode. We're going to talk about the teams. Look, we've got to witness every other team. The advantage of having the bye, we've got to witness every other team before the West Tigers get a crack at it. And as my co-host tonight, I thought my tips were pretty bad, but what'd you end up with over the weekend? I think a lot of people are in the same boat as us. A lot of shock results in the NRL for round one.
Yeah, g'day Josh, g'day everyone watching or listening. Yeah, you got, I think, two in the end, Josh, and I got a big fat grand total of one.
Yep, I tipped the Storm. I've got those. Obviously, the Craig Bellamy record continues, and I've got the Eels, which I thought, I'm surprised you did, took the Dogs. Is that the one you got?
In that case, you got three, because you also
I got three. We will go three. Yeah, tough weekend. A lot of people I'm talking to are in the same boat. So if you got 8 out of 8, you have to be some sort of witch or something, because it was a crazy, crazy weekend of footy. And let's get into it. We may have Rob popping in later. He's got a few things. We're not too sure, and possibly a guest as well. But we'll get into the show anyway. And first up, our amazing sponsors. First up, Holman Barnes Group. So you can catch the West Tigers season opener live and loud from their home, West Ashfield, this weekend. Dive into the half for half deal where you can get half price pizzas and discounted tap beer. That's from kickoff until halftime. So yeah, pizzas and tap beer cheap till halftime. Get on that. Enjoy responsibly. Holman Barnes Group, bringing people together. For more information, visit holmanbarnesgroup.com.au. And also our friends over at Mobile Corp, proud sponsor of the West Life Podcast. The business in its early days, they were a major sponsor of the Balmain Tigers. And for all your business IT needs, from cloud-based telephony, security, desktop support, and anything Microsoft, reach out to Mobile Corp. I should get their name right after the years of support they've given us. Mobile Corp. .com.au, and mention to them, if you do give them a call, that you're a listener of the West Life Podcast. They'll, Stephen and the team, they will look after you like they look after us, supporting us again in 2024. Right, some West Tigers news. So there's a whole debacle with this sponsor. So Fab Industrial Logistics. The boss of that, he's had a bit of a spat with Shane Richardson. He didn't like that Shane Richardson got a competitor in Allied Express, I believe, is the competitor that they're getting on the jerseys. With apparently, it's for more money than what Fab Industries were sponsoring us. So they didn't want to share the sponsorship. It got a bit annoyed with the whole ordeal. Rob pointed out, we had a bit of a chat in the Discord, he pointed out that this Fab Industry Logistics, they got in a bit of trouble with a bit of dodgy stuff back in the day. If you want to Google that, go for it. But I won't get into any details of that because it was well over a decade ago, I believe. But by the sounds of it, Richo's gone in. He's got a sponsor that's offering more money, and these guys were outbid, and they didn't like it.
Yeah, I can understand from their point of view, they probably don't want to be on the same jersey as one of their competitors because it can look a little bit shifty or a little bit odd, I suppose. But from the club's point of view and from Shane's point of view, if a certain sponsor or potential sponsor is offering more than what Fab are, then we have, I guess, a right to talk to that sponsor and potentially have them on the jersey if we want to. And if Fab don't want to be on there at the same time, then that's fair. But clubs can do what they want. If they've got the offer of more money coming in, they'd be silly to not take that sort of offer.
Yeah, and I'm sure, look, that's Richo's job, all faith in Richo. Speaking of Richo, he had a bit of a Q&A with Brent Reed in for News Corp today. So a couple of highlights from that. So he mentioned today that it's the new job. It's basically been a bigger job off the field than on the field. This is obviously Richo talking. I came in a couple of weeks before Christmas, looked around, saw what we needed to do, the changes we needed to make. We made them quickly. The people we let go, we haven't replaced them on or off the field. Sometimes you run better on rump than you do on fillet. We have tightened things up and we're a tighter group. So it sounds like quite a few cuts were made. He loves this. I think he used this steak analogy on James Graham's podcast as well.
I haven't actually had a chance to read this article yet, but I'm just happy to see that it looks like things have started to go well at Tiger Town, as they say, and things appear to be looking on the up. I mean, a happy club. Obviously, we haven't played any games yet. A happy club is a good sign. Hopefully, we can start winning some games and it stays that way. I'm just excited to have Tigers footy back this weekend.
Of Benji, he said he's highly intelligent. He's probably one of the most intelligent coaches I've ever had anything to do with. He picks up things really quickly. He has a deep understanding of the salary cap and the roster and what we are doing there. He has an intricate knowledge of it. I like that he's surrounded himself with people he trusts. They are people all part of his era. They are all hard workers. Yeah, obviously a big contingent of Benji Marshall's former teammates. And Shane Richardson, look, he's not going to come out and say if things aren't going smoothly within the club with all the coaching staff and the changes and that sort of thing. But as he seems to emphasize, that's the vibes. Vibes. Yeah, it's just the vibes at the West Tigers are looking good.
Yeah, it seems that way. And we've heard it from the players and a lot of the player media that we've seen over the off season so far, and I'm sure we'll see more of it this week now that the players are back in training, getting ready for round two. And the players just seem really happy with what's been going on at the club. I remember an episode of a podcast I watched on YouTube that was three of the Lebanese players with Josh Mansour.
Adam Dwayhe, yep.
Yep, Alex and Karaz, I think, from the Dogs. All three of those guys were on there, and Twol and Adam couldn't speak any higher of Benji and how things are looking at the club. And everything just seems really optimistic. Obviously, it's a brand new season. We're smack bang in the middle of the ladder after the bye, and it was nice throughout the week, well, the last eight or so days, just seeing our club in different positions in the top eight. Unfortunately, we just kept gradually dropping out towards outside the eight. But it's good to see that the club is feeling the good vibes at the moment. Hopefully some good results in round two, and we can continue.
Just hearing a couple of people mention in the comments, Spencer Lino has gotten 8 weeks for his racial slur in Las Vegas. So just quickly on that one, I think that sounds about right to me. As it's we talked about it a lot last episode, so we won't go too much into it. But he Yeah, it sets a precedence anyway. So,
yeah, I was thinking potentially 12, like maybe half a season, considering his attitude towards what he had said immediately after the game and his actions afterwards. But I can't be disappointed with 8. Like you said, it sets the precedent going forward that this sort of thing isn't going to be tolerated. I think the fact that he / the club eventually put out the guilty plea has lessened the punishment a little bit.
Yeah. You'd be pissed off with your Roosters brand new signing, and he goes and does that. But yeah. Anyway, back to the Shane Richardson and West Tigers. He said we're not looking in terms of the board. So he said there are 4 people on the board currently. We're appointing 3 more independents over the next 60 to 90 days. So not much rush there. In terms of new signings, he said we're not looking at anybody yet. We have a spot. So obviously that means a roster spot and a bit of money left over from the Nofaluma thing. But I want to build up a bit more. We will do that over the next 3 months. Build up a bit of a war chest. Then we'll go out into the marketplace. Fair dinkum. A bit of rumors, as I didn't put it as a whole story, because only I think can't remember we talked about it after. Actually, I think that we were discussing it literally the day after last episode. The rumor of the player swap with the Dragons and what's their name? Lomax.
Lomax.
Yeah. So rumor, I saw Jakey Simpkins' name thrown out there. I don't know how much, legs that. I mean, it'd be pretty funny. The Dragons go end up having Little and Simpkin, like Lids and Simpkin, bloody playing hooker in the same side again. But yeah, that's if that could happen, I'd be very, very happy with that one, Az.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we still have a little bit of a lacking. I think we're still lacking a little bit in the centres. Obviously, we've got Ollum, who's likely to be there if he's fit. There's a few others potentially who might be able to force their way into the 17 at some point. Like Fa'atape, I think he might have a shot. But if we had another strike centre, because it's obvious that Lomax wants to go back to playing centre because that is his favourite position, that would be best. And like having Lomax in our back line would immediately make our back line a whole lot better. And that would 100%. Also solve our goal kicker problem as well. Like we've had a goal kicker problem for many, many years. And Zach is a noted and quite good goal elite kicker. So that would fill basically
two like
of the big gaps that we've got.
I'm a big Lomax fan. I would be stoked if we can make that happen. This was on Adam Dwayhe. So he said he's working really hard. We don't expect him back until July. Benji and I had a talk with Adam 1 week ago and said, we'll just wait until you get back. We'll give you every opportunity. You're a junior at the club and we'd like to see you here, but we need to see you play. He's really cool about that. So, I mean, nothing really groundbreaking there waiting till July. Seeing pictures of AD with no strapping, that sort of thing. Looks like he's going pretty well at training. It'd be, nice to see him come back into, I assume, the centres when he comes back. But either way, however it is, it'd be nice to see AD back on the field.
Yeah, for sure. I think the fact that he needed 2 different operations to get past this third ACL because they needed to patch up the old holes or something before they drilled new ones in, for this reconstruction, the fact that it was delayed a little bit, I think they just want to take it a little bit easier with him and getting him back into, working him back into training and different aspects of the game, probably a little bit slower than they normally would for an ACL, because we're coming up to, almost a full 12 months now since it happened, because I'm pretty sure it was early April last year and we're now mid-March. So it seems like, they're just looking to try and beat ease him into it, which I think is the way to go. And I don't think he'll be in the halves if he does come back. I think he'll be in the centres potentially, or maybe in a different sort of ball-playing position. He's got the body for it, but there's a lot of potential with AD there. I think give him another go, obviously once he's fit and ready to go.
We might skip. I know I've got it in the order. We might go straight to Statsman, as I know we're working hard with the two-man team. I'm going to skip through all my slides, every single team. Yeah, oh, I missed it. There we go. My photoshopping skills. I hope you enjoy that one. So anyone in the comments, if they obviously have to be watching. If you're listening to this, it'll mean nothing to you. But anyone watching live on the video stream, if you get the reference here with Az, let us know in the comments. I'll give you
where did you take that headshot from? I can't recognize what picture that might be from.
It's you. It's an image of you, Rob, and I at Leichhardt last year. That was still on my phone.
Oh, that one. Okay, that would have been the Cowboys game when all three of us were there up the top, would it?
That would explain this, how happy we are, possibly.
Yep. One of the few times we were happy last year.
What have you got for us stats wise this week?
Yeah, just talking about those upsets in round one. I was going through pre-Vegas games through the betting odds on one of the bookies apps and having a look at basically the official ones that are on the NRL app. And if I remember rightly, based on what the bookies odds were like at that time, 6 out of 8 underdogs all got up. And I know it's round one and upsets are common, but even still, I don't think I've seen that many underdogs get up in any round ever. 6 out of 8 games, the only two favorites that got up were Parramatta and the Cowboys. I was quite baffled to see. Mm. I mean, Storm, I think they were the underdog in that regard, but obviously a lot of people thought they'd continue the whole round one streak thing. I wasn't one of those people. I thought Penrith would beat them. But it was ridiculous and a little bit crazy to see 6 teams that were all expected to lose get wins, and some of them, like the Dragons, for example, get pretty big and convincing wins.
Just got a message. Sorry, as Rob can't make it on tonight, but he'll be back Wednesday. So we'll get into, thanks for those stats. Let's get into discussing team by team quickly. Let us know in the comments if you're watching live. We're going to go in the order of the table from last year. So, I mean, theoretically, oh, no, I tell a lie. Here he is coming in from the red room. Roberto, welcome in. Good timing.
Okay, that's good. How are we?
Good. We might get your comments on. Have you heard of any of the show? I know you just
got home. No, mate. I've actually just got back and I thought just drop in. And if you need me, you need me. If you don't, you don't. So all good.
We'd love to get your comments on this sponsorship ordeal, Fab, because you definitely are more of an expert on that sort of thing than Az and I.
Well, I messaged Shannon Kavanagh. He actually contacted me first, you know, a year or so ago when this first happened, and gave me his side of the story and some of his views as to how he'd been treated, you know, by the management, et cetera, et cetera. And basically, when he had this robust conversation with Pasco, which was at a function, a West Tigers function, They moved away from the table, but how it actually started was Shannon jokingly said on the table, I don't know if it was Jimmy Smits or James Hooper, but he jokingly said one of those blokes should be CEO. And as a bit of a throwaway line, because like that's how bad we're going as a club. And then Pasco and him moved away from the table, had heated discussions. And then this guy, this Fabry bloke, who's as thick as thieves with Pasco, basically went up to Shannon and told him to F off. So, look, Pasco and him are very close, and obviously, you know, Shannon doesn't think much of this bloke, and he's showed me a couple of shady articles about him, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, I just think this is just a ploy to make Richo look bad, and he's just sticking up for his mate Pasco and just trying to make us look bad as a club instead of just, you know, behaving like he should behave. And, I just think it's a bit of a it's these blokes getting into Pasco's media mates just to make Richo look bad, which I think is pretty uncalled for.
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, from what we can tell, that Richo's got a better offer from Allied as well.
Correct.
Went back to him and
said, I figured you would have covered that. Yeah, so that was a bit. And look, I can get from this other bloke's point of view, you don't want, you know, two sponsors in the same business on the jersey, but it sounds like that wasn't the case at all. And just like a lot of things with our previous management, things get twisted and things are, you know, there's a little bit of deception, you know, just like our 20,000 members, there's always a little bit of a spin there. So anyway, look, at the end of the day, we've got plenty of people that want to sponsor our club. So if he doesn't want to be a part of it, see you later. We'll get someone else. It'll be fine.
Righto, let's go rapid fire team by team. If you got time, Rob, we're going to go.
Sure.
Just tell me yay or nay. Are we any chance of beating? We're going to go team by team by the order of last year's table. So it will get better and easier, hopefully. Although results over the weekend might have flipped that a little bit. Obviously, Penrith Panthers, number one. Now, the thing is, we could say, we're obviously, the smart answer would be go, no, no chance. But we did beat them last year, as.
Yeah, we did. I think we could potentially do it again if it's bucketing down rain in Bathurst again when we play them, because they seem to struggle in the rain.
Yeah, I feel like maybe they're not going to underestimate us this time. Who knows? Like early, when is it? It's mid-season.
It's round seven, so it's only 6 weeks away. It's like mid-April.
Yeah, they might be firing a bit. I mean, will it be Origin?
They also have a bye the week before they play us as well. They've got a bye in round six, then we play them round seven.
All right, I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I'll say yay. I think we've beaten them, you know, two of the last 3 years. So, look, Penrith are the best. They're the benchmark, no doubt about it. But given what they did on the weekend, they come at you with everything, but they keep turning the ball inside, trying to grind you. And if we can defend
that much help in Bathurst,
if we can defend how Melbourne did, why not? I mean, like, our score was pretty low scoring. Aaron might remember the score. I can't remember. Was it 8-0 or 8-4 or 8-2 or something really low? So if we can, you know, if we can have a similar score line to what Melbourne did, why not?
It was either 10-8 or 12-8.
Okay. It was pretty low anyway.
Very low.
I think Gussie's saying the comments will win by 26. I think is what he means by that comment. Gussie's got his little tick next to his name too. He, not only did he super chat us, he signed up for our YouTube membership as well. Got on your Gussie. Appreciate that. Saw that come through during the week. So if you're on the YouTube, you can super chat us and or there's a membership thing. So if you don't want to do the Patreon thing, it's easy to sign up through the YouTube and get all the benefits. We'll add you to the Discord, which will start heating up. It's been good all summer, but it'll start really heating up as the footy starts this weekend. Righto, let's go on to the Broncos, who I think will win the comp this year. We only play them once. I think it's in Brisbane, as?
No, it's the week after we play the Panthers at Campbelltown during Anzac round.
Oh, it's at a no home, from me, guys. No from me. They've got too much attack for us.
I'm just thinking, there's no... We need the Origin week or something, so I'm going to say no. What do you reckon, Az?
Yeah, I'm probably going to say no at this point as well. They obviously, with their loss in Vegas, they're going to look to really get on top of the rest of the comp over the next few weeks, and yeah, they're going to be very tough to beat.
Melbourne Storm, so Sean Blaw's homecoming to Leichhardt Oval. We don't have to play them in Melbourne this year, so just the one game at Leichhardt. I reckon Leichhardt, I'm going to say Leichhardt factor. I'm going to use this for the first time.
So
tonight.
You're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah!
Oh, gosh.
Rob, what are you thinking?
Look, sorry, guys. I've got to give it a no. And look, we all saw Twally's first try at Campbelltown last year when we played them. But if you guys can hark back to the team that Melbourne put on the park that night, that was half a reserve grade team. They had Tyrone Wishart running around us and stuff like that. So I've got to say no. They're, you know, we couldn't beat them at half strength last year. We're not going to beat them at full strength this year.
Kim's with me on Facebook. Said we could beat Storm. At Leichhardt, Mick's saying, Mick saying Leichhardt oval factor used to mean something. That's true. Leichhardt, yeah, the Leichhardt. I mean, the record on every part of the planet is crap the last few years. But who knows? The Benji era, maybe the Leichhardt factor will be a thing again. As
I'm just actually trying to check through the draw. Okay, so we play them round 18. I think that's the week between. Oh, hang on. That might be the round. Okay, so that's the round where all the players who play Origin are back before they then head off again for round for game three the week after. So that'll likely be at full strength for that one. So I'd have to say no.
Okay, maybe. Okay. Well, be good to see the Blaws anyway. Warriors.
I gotta get that picture.
The Waz, we play them in New Zealand. We have a New Zealand trip, don't we, this year?
We do, yes.
And then we're playing, is it Campbell? Are we playing at Campbelltown this year? I really should have written this down. Play them once in New Zealand. I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I'm going to say no as well, but I'll put a little thing there. If it was over here, I'd give us a bit of a chance. They're not the greatest traveling team in the world, but over there, no, I'm going to definitely say no. And thankfully, this isn't our home game this year in New Zealand, by the way. It's actually their own home game.
Mick on the YouTube saying he's actually confident this one. As
yeah, I'd probably have to say no for this one too. If we had them at home, I'd say possibly. But yeah, away over there, they're too good at the moment. They're going to be stinging after losing to the Sharks in round one. I don't think they're going to lose too many more of their home games.
Newcastle, we have twice, don't we? One up there and one down here. Is it Tamworth Knights? No, yes,
we are home at Tamworth to the Knights, and we've got them just after Origin 3, I think, somewhere around that period.
So it's basically two home games for them. I'll say we'll win one. I'll say we'll win one, lose one. We actually usually do. I feel like we do okay at I was going to say Marathon Stadium. I don't even know what it's called.
I was going to say that too.
Yeah.
We do well up there.
It's McDonald Jones. But yeah, we do actually have a pretty decent record up there. I can't remember the exact numbers, but since I became a member in 2016, we've played them up there maybe six or seven times. We play them there almost every year. And I think we've won four, maybe five of them. So we do have a good recent record up there. We beat them up there in Robbie's 300th in 2019, I think it was.
It was.
Yeah. Yep. And I like our chances of winning at least one against them.
Yeah, I have seen them win. I've seen them, obviously, growing up on the coast, I lived halfway to there. So it's four losses the last two seasons. But before that, two wins in 21, two losses in 20, three wins in a row across 19, 18, a loss in 18, then win in 17, win in 16. So we had a run there where we had, this is against Newcastle, not in Newcastle. So in Newcastle, so two losses, so lost 23, lost 22, but we won there in 21, lost there in 20. One there in 19, one there in 18, one there in 17, one there in 14, one there in 10, one there in 8. So, yeah, a decent amount of wins up there. That's actually a bit like a better record than Campbelltown for us. So that's actually better than I thought. But I don't know, the Knights, obviously there were some pretty – they were. The Knights were the West Tigers of a few years ago, so they were a pretty weak team and very different now. But I'll give us a chance. Sharkies, obviously, first home game of the year. I'm gonna play it
so
again.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah.
Leichhardt, first game, Leichhardt. They're not going to let us down like last year. I reckon I'm going to put money on us to win that one.
Yeah, look, we'd be an outside chance, but they were pretty impressive to hold on the way they did last weekend against New Zealand, given they were getting beaten up pretty badly pretty early. So, and they do seem to do well against us at Leichhardt. And well, I think we all famously know what happened in 2019 in the last round. So, look, I'm not going to be saying yes to too many of these, but they're the sort of team, if we get in the grind with them, you know, we can rattle them a little bit, but they're pretty potent.
Just so Emmanuel.
We do play them a second time. We play them a second time at Shark Park, the same week that Origin players will be gone for Game 3. So I don't know if they'll have many Origin players. Maybe Nico. I can't think of too many more, but we do play them during Origin away.
Emmanuel said on YouTube, can or will we beat any team? Two very different questions. As a supporter, I believe we can beat any team, but will we beat them is another thing altogether. Obviously, Emmanuel, if we actually did know the answer to these, we'd be very, very rich because we could put a lot of money on it and win. It's just a fun exercise to talk about as we head into the season. So obviously, take everything we say with a grain of salt, especially me, who is a babbling idiot. Roosters, we never ever beat these guys. I think we've beaten them three times. Although the anniversary of the Lolahia sideline conversion was yesterday, I think. That was 2018.
18,
yeah. So it would be, what, six years ago now. Seems like a lifetime ago. But, man, the Roosters, it doesn't matter where both teams are on the table. It's a long, long... I'm just looking at the record now. So we've beaten them once since 2012. So in this drought, one win in 2018. That was the Lolahia sideline conversion. And then only two wins since 2010. So before that, so I think I've told this story before, but the third last time that we beat them, sorry, the fourth time, because we beat them twice in 2009. So the night before my 21st birthday was when we beat them. I'm turning 36 in a couple of weeks, and we've beat them three times since. Just to give a bit of perspective. Our special guest,
we have the worst record against,
has arrived. To get a bit of non-Tigers bias, got Benny to come in. Trying to unmute your mic, Ben. You might have to do it from your end.
G'day, lads.
Introduce yourself, Benny. Hopefully won't lose too many listeners when you announce which team you actually go for, but go for it.
I'm Ben. Many a year ago, I used to work for the NRL, and I grew up a North Sydney Bears fan, but I am now, and have been for quite a while, a Manly fan.
So obviously Northern Eagles.
Oh, the most important period in football history, the Northern Beagles.
Look, having grown up on the Central Coast during that era, I can absolutely tell you that I knew one single person who was a Northern Eagles fan, and he was a Manly fan before that. It wasn't very popular. I think that everyone on the Central Coast were pretty excited to have the Bears, but as soon as it was the Eagles, yeah, it was destined for failure. So hopefully the North Sydney Bears do get back in.
Look, 50% of marriages end in divorce, and I guess the NRL's mergers worked a little bit better, except for Manly and the Bears.
Hmm. Yeah, the other two.
How could you go for Manly, Ben? Like, they were your arch enemy.
Yeah, it's weird. But my dad was actually a Manly fan who ended up playing a bit of reserve grade for Norths, and then my mum's dad also played reserve grade for them, and he was mad. So between mad for the Bears, so between him playing for them and dad playing for them, I thought that was the team to go for. And little did I know, my dad always hated them and only played for them because Manly wouldn't start him.
Okay.
So then when I was growing up around the time I was probably, I don't know, 16, the thing that every teenager on the Northern Beaches does every second week is go to the Manly game and just do laps around Brookvale Oval. And probably somewhere around there I realised, I've actually been watching this team for about 5 years and I probably care about them a little bit.
Okay.
Fair enough. Right? You're sucked in. Fair enough. I mean, you've won. How many comps have you seen?
Three? I've won two. 2008 and 2011, and then a few losses in there as well. But you know, it's been nice to be up there and about, and I do miss it.
I often wonder, because obviously Balmain almost merged with Parramatta. I wonder if Parramatta fans ever wonder what could have been. They could have won a premiership had they merged it.
Right, and then, you know, Bulldogs had a chance. They could have felt like what it was like to win 05, ignoring all the other years. You know, there's plenty of teams that could have had a great shot at being a member of Tim Sheen's history.
We haven't done Manly yet, so that's good that we got you in time. We're just going through team by team based on the ladder from last year. I'll let you go.
We've got a while to go, don't worry.
Yeah, so Raiders, this is first game of the year, so might as well get you. What are your tips for us this weekend? Do we have the Raiders again this year at home?
We play them round 16 at Campbelltown. That is the week that Origin players will be gone as well.
Benny, look, we're all biased, but we've probably said half a chance for like one or two games so far. Are the Tigers any chance against the Raiders?
Raiders were going to lose last week, so I tipped against them very heavily, both financially and in several tipping comps, and got beaten to death with it. So I'm scared to tip against them again. But look, I am a very big Benji believer. I knew Benji quite a bit from my days of producing the Footy Show and NRL, and he's an absolute top bloke. And I have blind faith in Benji. That being said, I'm tipping the Raiders to death.
What about when we play him in Campbelltown later in the year?
Then it's a different story. I mean, then you've got the multicoloured benches. You've got all sorts going on for you. So how can you not?
Yep. So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah!
All right, fellas, what are you thinking? Raiders? Yeah, I'm with Ben here. I think in Canberra, no. I reckon in Campbelltown, big chance.
I think Canberra probably win both, guys, but I don't know what happened to Newcastle the other night. I honestly believe if our forwards show up, Canberra don't have that many points in them, but nor do we. So I feel like we're going to lose, but it might be like 18-12 or something like that this week. So I do think Canberra will win, but if we show up with the right attitude and all this hype about, you know, we're going to put our bodies on the line and this is a different culture and play for each other and trust the guy next to you, I think it can be a competitive game for most of the match, but we've got to get off to a good start and hold them early, because Canberra, as you saw what they did to Newcastle, they just grind away. They just smash you through the forwards, and eventually when Newcastle give up, they kind of put a few points on them at the end there. So I'd like to think we could, you know, we have a chance, at least keeping it respectable anyway.
I'll throw this one to Az and Ben. Ben being, you're a Denver Broncos fan, aren't you, Ben?
No, very long time Denver Broncos fan.
Yeah. So Rob often compares us to our beloved Denver Broncos in the fact that we can't score points. How does that hit the heart as a Broncos fan?
Look, the fact that we're the new team that has the QB jersey hurts. And look, it's going to be hard to do worse than the Denver Broncos the last couple of years, but if anyone can find a way, it might be the West Tigers.
I think we've definitely done worse than the Denver Broncos. Denver Broncos nearly won. We're 500 with a few weeks before the bloody playoffs.
Very true.
So, but good luck.
And like hearing Aiden Caesar's not going to be there either probably doesn't help that, because I'm a long-time Aiden Caesar believer. I was a Titan Caesar believer. You know, I like the way he can structure a team together, and him not being there, I think, probably takes a chunk out of changing what's been the attacking structure of the Tigers for a long time. I think he could have brought a bit of composure to it. It's not going to be there.
Are we really believing that he's not going to be there or not named tomorrow night? Is there some sort of factual thing going on here, or are the leaks still coming out?
Someone said they saw the training drill today and he was playing with the reserves and the Galvin. But who knows? Maybe Galvin will be named on the bench and that could be a change. Who knows? It's going off what someone saw.
Unless he's injured, I find it very hard to believe. That's basically throwing out all the philosophy they've spread to.
He was doing the post. He was in the post session apparently, so he wouldn't be if he was injured. He wouldn't.
So he's not even injured. I thought he was out injured. That's even worse.
He's not injured. He was, according to this person, that he was in the opposed side in the post session. So, you know, Benji might just, I don't know, leave it on a prayer. As I don't think you've given it. Have you given your answer for the Raiders?
Not yet, no. I agree pretty much in the fact that this weekend is going to be very tough. I can't really comment too much on the Raiders because I didn't see their game on Thursday since I was at the SCG, but I heard that they were very, very solid. I think Newcastle got off to a bit of an early lead, did they?
No, they didn't, but I mean, they had a few opportunities. They had a try taken off them for like one of the worst rules. I hate this obstruction thing when it's from a kick downfield. Like, I don't know what the supporting players are meant to do, but I think that was like a bit of a turning point. But yeah, look, the Knights were awful. They were losing a lot of ball. They were playing too sideways and not direct, and Canberra just out-toughed them.
Yeah, that first set that they played with attacking football, I thought, Jesus, the Knights are going to be fun to watch this year because they just put everything on. And then for the next 27 minutes, they couldn't wait to drop the ball, kick it bad, mistake you could make with the ball in hand.
Got to give a shout out to Gussie. He's dropped us another fight. Gussie, mate, he's bloody throwing the whole bank account at us. Throwing us another $5 with a super chat. He said, I believe there comes a time when everything just falls in line. We live and learn from our mistakes. I'm all fired up.
You had to sing it, Josh. It only works if you sing it.
I'm no Pat Bennett. Pat Benatar, I think.
Pat Benatar.
I'm no Pat Benatar, Gussie, but we belong together, Gussie.
Just on the Raiders, the second time we play them as well, maybe they might have a couple of players out for Origin again, potentially. Now, who knows how Madge is going to go and if he's going to use any of their boys. But I think at home we might stand a chance, but we don't have to worry about them having Josh Hodgson towel us up anymore. So he was usually the main player, just had his way with us every time Canberra played us. He's gone. Jordan Rappin is gone. So you never know. Maybe.
Rappin's like, still there.
Rappin's still there. He scored a try in the week.
Not Rappin, Leilua. That's
Joey Leilua.
I got two players mixed up there. Their combo.
Adam Reynolds was another one that used to obviously always break our hearts. He's no longer at the Rabbitohs. Are we a chance we have them at Campbelltown and in Gosford this year? So we usually play well. I'll find our record at Gosford. Rob, I'll let you go first. What about the South Sydney Rabbitohs?
Look, Souths have a lot of attack with them, but as I said pre-season, guys, I don't think they're going to make the eight. I just don't like how they've been defending since last July. They were quite awful against Manly, like three absolute, you know, soft as butter tries, you know, to Croker and to Brooks and to Ben Trbojevic. Like, that's just not premiership type defence. And if they defend like that against us, then we won't be the Denver Broncos and we might be able to score some points. So, look, it just depends what Souths are like by the time we play them. But I think that's actually, even though they're super potent with Latrell and Cody and guys like that, and Damien Cook, Cameron Murray, I still think we'd actually be a chance to beat them.
So, Ben, just looking back on the West Tigers record up at Gossie, Graham Park, we won our first three games there in 2000, 2004, 2007. That was Northern Eagles, Bulldogs, Melbourne Storm. I believe that Melbourne Storm game, though, Benji injured his shoulder for a second time, if my memory serves correctly. I remember going to that game and, like, we won and it didn't feel that good because we knew Benji had done his shoulder again. And someone maybe confirm that for me in the comments. We lost the next year against Manly in 2010, but we won there in 2011. And since then, in 12-13, we lost to Manly and then lost that. That we should have won against the Warriors in 2021. We literally had a chance in the death to win that one.
Josh, but I think that Melbourne win might have been when Chrissy Lawrence played 5-8, and I think he had a really good game. I could be wrong.
In Justin's
might have been the Central Coast. I feel like he was 5'8".
No, Benji and John Morris in this game.
Benji and John Morris, was it? Well, it was a game where he started at 5'8", and I'm pretty sure it was against
that was against Manly, I thought. I thought that was Manly. I think that was a win against Manly.
I feel like one of those games, too, was one where Gareth Ellis just tore Manly apart, like one of my all-time favourite Tigers players, and he was just running that crazy outside in line that he used to run towards the post, like from 20 metres out, and even if he didn't score a try, he'd just absolutely skittle, like, the second rower and someone else and just destroy that line.
As what are you thinking against the Bunnies?
By this point of the season, because we played them both times after round 20, we're going to have had a chance to really gel by then, really get our combinations going. I give us a chance in both games, potentially.
Hang on, I've got to play my sound again. Let's see if our listeners get sick of this.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah!
What we really should have said, Josh, was if Manly can do it, we can do it. Isn't that right, Benny?
Like, if that Roosters pack can make the Manly pack look good, they can make any pack look good. I said Roosters, I meant one of those.
Righto. Obviously, Parramatta Eels will be round 4 Easter in Parramatta. Remember, guys, if you're trying to get tickets, find a Parramatta member, Parramatta Eels member, and once they stop whinging about whatever it is in their lives that they hate, including their football team, get their member number off them, and that's the code you use on Ticketek, so you don't have to buy a membership to go to this game. Did you hear about this, Ben?
Mate, if there is anyone who whinges half as much as the Eels, I've heard twice as much from them.
And other we got them at home too as this year, like
we do the last round. First,
yeah, of course. No, Campbelltown.
We get to play at Leichhardt in September. It's going to be so good.
It's Leichhardt. It is Leichhardt. Yeah, because I don't think we've played them in Leichhardt.
No, it's Campbelltown.
It is Campbelltown. Okay. I guess. Or, I mean, come last round, they might be. It depends if we're probably not going to be playing for a top 8 spot, but if the Eels aren't either, I'll give us a chance here. And Easter, I mean, we got the miracle of Jacko 2 years ago. Rob, it's a tough one.
Yeah, look, I'm definitely, no offense, guys, I'm going to say no here for multiple reasons. I think their pack, but you know, barring their hooker, is just elite. It's as good as all the other packs. Depends, obviously, if Moses and Brown are there as well. Their back line can be a bit how you're going, but with Gutho at the back, I think they're really strong. And do not forget, boys, Benji was our coach last round last year against some team up on the northern beaches there. I forget who they are, Ben. And we failed to show up at all, and they just went through us like, you know, Swiss cheese. So I just think, you know, if we've got nothing to play for last round, we might see a similar sort of game to the one we played against Manly, which would be very unfortunate.
Don't forget, Rob, in that final game last year, they were getting some of the gridiron practice in with some of the passes that were being thrown.
No, they were, but it was basically like our team was just getting out of the way so Jareem Buller would try and tackle them. Like, I think Jareem missed a few tackles, but he probably had to make about 7 or 8 as well. You just hate to be a fullback when you play for the Tigers when they're in that sort of mood.
Benny, are we any chance against the Eels?
I think I'd want to see what Eels are up this year, because every couple of years you get an Eels who can only play at the level of their opponent, and then on the opposite side you get an Eels who are really good and can only play against the good teams. Now, I think last year they played well against good teams, so it might be a year where they play down to their opponents. But, yeah, it's really going to depend if Eels are interested in the game. There's a chance, but, geez, it's going to take a lot of pieces come together to make that chance happen.
Cowboys, as I'll let you go first with the Cowboys, we have them. Are we up in Townsville this year?
We are, yeah. So we played them in Townsville 5 days after we played the Dolphins in Magic Round. So it's the old 5-day turnaround there. And then we have them at Leichhardt later in the season. And obviously the only chat about these two matchups when they get closer will be the two completely different score lines and games that we played against them last year, and the wild difference for both sides really between the two. I honestly give us a chance in both games against the Cowboys. They were very good this weekend, and they looked like they were playing pretty much close to their best. Yeah. But we do have a good record against them, and we do often find a way to play.
Only when really Thurston's playing.
Some really good football against them. So, yeah, particularly the Leichhardt game, I give us a shot against the Cows.
Rob?
I'd give us a shot at Leichhardt Oval, but, you know, as Aaron alluded to earlier, like, how do you, you know, work out how these teams are going to play each other when there was like a 120-point turnaround or thereabouts last year? So, but look, the Cowboys looked really sharp on the weekend against the Dolphins. I don't know if any of playing them comes around origin time or anything like that, but, yeah, I don't give us much hope up there given what we did last year, but certainly in Sydney I'd give us a chance.
I'm going to go the reverse. I'm going to give you a chance in Townsville, and you're going to lose the Leichhardt game.
Why do you give us a chance up there, Vinny?
Because weird shit happens when these two teams play. And it's like every year it feels like there's something exciting about these two teams playing, and it's probably a throwback to the 05 grand final, but it's like it feels like any time they're on, it's a game I want to watch because anything weird can happen, and it feels like it's the right kind of thing for them to, like, one to win at home, one to win all. Like, both win away, they'll both win in some weird fashion. Something will happen that we won't be able to predict.
No, that's actually a good point, you know, because we actually won the game in 2022, but the referees found about five different things in the last 90 seconds to take the game off us. So you actually make a really good point there.
Righto. It comes the time, your beloved.
Oh, look who it is.
The Eagles. Righto, so Manly, do we play Brookie? Sorry, Az, I know you're taking a sip of water and I really should have written all this down, but I don't need to write things down when I have the stats, man. Manly, are we at Brookie this year?
Leichhardt only.
Leichhardt only. All right, lock it in. Lock it. This is my lock of the episode.
Season.
Lock it in.
This would be a great one because there's so many random Tigers now on the Manly team that I wish we hadn't signed. There's so many random Manly players over the Tigers that, like if they've got any goal whatsoever, you'll play all the Latu brothers. You'll get one out of prison. You'll play him as well. You know, if you can't get the Stones to pull them all out, I don't know what you're doing over there. Like, I can't wait to see whatever his name is on whatever side we signed him from because we wanted to piss off Scott Fulton up against in the revenge match of revenge. I can't even tell you half the guys we signed because I've never watched him play. Terrible, terrible signings just to annoy Scott Fulton, who then was sacked anyway. So I'm really glad that we really sunk our balloon by signing your old recruitment manager to then sign all his bad signings just to spite you. You really want to spite the team on the bottom of the table and then tank it against them this year. So I'm going to give you a chance.
I'll tell you now, Ben, no refunds on Tommy Talau when you see how bad he is defensively.
Oh, mate, I think they thought they were signing another Trbojevic brother because the names look similar.
Another TT, yeah. More twin turbos.
Right, just it's a weird one, what Manly did with their recruitment on that end. And I honestly think it was just weird spite signings because they just traded things back and forth. And I don't know. This one I think is going to be a game where it's like probably one where you play through the middle and neither team's got brilliant middles. So it's whoever wins that battle of the pillows probably takes it.
I've been calling Manly the Manly Sea Tigers recently. They've got that many ex-Tigers on their books now.
Yeah, it's a bit like when the Sharks signed like Fifita and Hyington, about 15 Tigers, and they were like the Tiger Sharks. Like, it was, Bo Ryan was there for a bit.
Blake Ashford.
It's similar. Like, people just go mad for, like, you know what we haven't had in a while? A spate of 14 Tiger signings. Let's see how many we can get.
Rob, anything to add on?
No, I'm actually locking this in as a win. I know Manly were really impressive in Vegas, but I think they got more personalities than Sybil. They're very dependent on Daly Cherry Evans and Tommy Turbo. And honestly, guys, I think you're not allowing for the Luke Brooks coming home factor. We're going to smash the crap out of him. We're going to be all over him. The crowd's going to be booing. It's going to be really intense. And I think our team will be really up for the game. So I'm hoping we get the win against Manly at Leichhardt. But if it was a rookie, it'd be a different story. But yeah, but at Leichhardt, sure. I'm very confident.
That's an interesting point. Like, normally a bloke who comes back to a team that he played 200 games for gets some respect, but I just can't see Luke Brooks getting it. He's so maligned by that fan base. Like, you're all sick of him.
It's going to be very interesting seeing him walking, running out to a hill that is absolutely booing the crap out of him for a change.
One thing that was embarrassing, Benny, in 2007, we played the Gold Coast Titans at Campbelltown, and Scott Prince ran out the Titans, and the whole crowd was booing, and I'm like, what are you doing? This guy
won a premiership.
Mate, Prince is a hero.
If we can boo Scott Prince, we're booing Luke Brooks, let me
tell you. Yeah, I'm just sorry. That poor bloke.
And Benji as well, when Benji ran out for the Dragons against us too. I remember he got booed as well.
Benji, I almost understand, because there was like, people were so dirty that you went to Union too. It wasn't so much the Dragons. Mm. It was like, you're not only leaving us, you're leaving the whole sport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dolphins, so this is Magic Round, and so Brisbane twice for the Dolphins. That's right, isn't it?
Yep, that's correct. 6 weeks apart, round 5, round 11, both at Suncorp. Yeah, honestly, after watching them on the weekend, I give us a chance against them. I was thinking it might be tough considering we play them both times up there. But they didn't look as good as I thought they would. I may have overestimated them on my ladder. Obviously, it's only been one game and there's still much, much, much of a season to go. But yeah, I think we have a chance against the Finns.
Yeah, me too. I'll give us a red hot go. But we always play well at Suncorp. Rob, what do you think?
They're awful.
Another stat for you.
If we get two wins against them, we're big chance of not getting the spoon, I reckon.
Another stat for you. Magic Round, it's happened 4 times. We're 3 out of 4 wins.
We beat the Panthers, Magic Round.
We beat the Panthers in the inaugural Magic Round, yeah.
Benny, the Dolphins. Yeah,
chance. I don't like the Dolphins at all this year. The back end of last year didn't impress me. Their best forward's not playing. I've got nothing for the Dolphins. I think they're going to be, you know, a bottom 6 team. I would give them bottom 4 because I'll never write a Bennett team off, but they're no good.
I agree.
Titans, who got smacked at home by the Dragons over the weekend. Where do we have the Titans? We're not playing on the Gold Coast this year, are we, Az? I think I checked.
I think we only have them once. I'm pretty sure we've only got them once, and I think that's a Leichhardt game, maybe?
Yeah, that sounds right. So, yeah, I don't think we're playing at what Skill Park called now? Skilled?
Seabus.
Rabina. Seabus. Knew you'd know.
Rabina can't get to its stadium.
Yeah, it's such a weird weird spot, isn't it? I wonder why people don't go there. It's the middle of, like, why wouldn't you build it?
Like, why isn't there a train station or a bus that goes there?
Yeah, Queensland.
But there's no parking either.
Yeah, there's nowhere to park. You got to walk. I haven't been there since the Robbie Farah field goal win in 2013. So I don't know if it's changed in a decade, but yeah. Anyway, but nice place. I do love going to the Gold Coast itself, service paradise. I give us a chance, 100% at Leichhardt against the Titans. Rob,
yeah, me too. That look, they weren't impressive first round. They'll probably be a different team by the time we play them. But yeah, why not? Well, hopefully David Fifita's not around. That'll make it a little bit easier. But
yeah, leave Appy's jaw alone.
Yeah, they've got a new coach who's a very good coach, but a new coach. But they're problems in the halves. So when Kieran Foran's there, they look great. When he's not there, they look like shit. So a lot will depend on you know, how they gel. And they're missing a couple of other players as well. Preston Campbell's son, Jaden, and one or two others that names escape me. But yeah, I couldn't believe that Saints won by that much. Like, Saints' trial form was great, but it was against us. So the fact that their trial form was against us, I kind of still went Gold Coast thinking, you know, I don't think they'll beat the Gold Coast, but they absolutely put a number on them.
As?
Yeah, I agree. I think we're a decent chance against the Titans. We do play them at Leichhardt only. It's the weekend before players head off for Origin Game 2, so they will probably be at full strength, barring injuries. But, yeah, they looked awful. Even with a few players to come back, I give us a chance.
The Doggies, we have them at Accor Stadium. I do know that one. I always, obviously look forward to playing in Homebush, so I don't have to, I can walk to the games. I 100% give us a chance against the Doggies. Do we have the Doggies at home?
No, just the away this year.
Just the away game. I mean, it's Homebush. It's not really, it's not Belmore, so. Yeah, 100% give us a chance in this one. What do you reckon, Benny?
Oh, chance. Like, Dogs are my odds-on favourite to win the Spoon this year. They're just, I don't know what they did in the off-season. They need all the forwards and they bought all the utilities. I don't trust Gus. I don't trust Seraldo. Yeah, give me Tigers.
All right. Roberto?
Oh, look, it's definitely winnable. I'm not as all doom and gloom as Benny is about him. I actually thought, against most teams, Parramatta would have had, you know, 5 or 6 tries by halftime the other day. I thought they scrambled really well, but they are very light in the forwards, but they have got a lot of potency in the back line if they can get their forwards right. But they're still sorting their team out, guys. Their halves are, you know, they've got halves in reserve grade that could do better than them at the moment. They've got a fullback whose name escapes me that goes better than Blake Taff. I think they're just trying to hold him back. So I'm not putting a line through Canterbury or Seraldo. I don't think they'll make the 8. But they've got enough ingredients there. Like a couple of the tries they scored the other day were pretty good. And, you know, with not much time left, they were down 20-8 against Parramatta, who dominated possession. They were completing at 100% at one stage. And, you know, Canterbury missed a couple of goals. They could have even been 20-12. So I don't think it was their performance was as bad as everyone's saying. But I definitely agree with Benny in the sense that, gee, they literally bought every possible utility. You know, and I just don't think that was the right kind of buying. It was literally like whoever was available, they went for. And, yeah, it's kind of pretty weird. But their pack needs improving. Their pack's still not right.
What worries me about Seraldo's coaching is he's trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. He's bringing the Penrith system to a team that doesn't have the players to execute it. And I don't know that he knows how to execute the game plan that the Bulldogs need to win. Like, they're so light in the forwards, and Burton's not the strongest ball player. But they need to play around teams if they're going to win, and they're still trying to win through the middle, and that's Penrith style. They're trying to bash blokes. They're trying to win on defence, and they're not that team, and that's why I don't have wraps on Seraldo, because he needed to come in this year with a different game plan, because what he did last year didn't work, and all I saw was more of the same.
If you were picking their team, Benny, would you play Burton in the centres?
I don't think they can afford to play Burton in the centres. I think his best position is probably centre, but... Yeah. Geez, like, they're so, like, I know they've got a million utilities, but the amount they're paying him, who they've got in the centres, I don't think they can afford to. On any other team, I think I would shift him to the centres, but they're probably the only team where you have to leave him at 5'8", because he does have those plays, and he's got that big boot that he can make things happen, but he just can't do it consistently in the role.
Yeah, I just don't think he runs the ball enough. He's organising too much. It's a totally different level, but it kind of reminds me of Luke Brooks trying to manage a game. Like, Luke Brooks can't manage a game. I don't think Matt Burton can manage a game either.
And I feel like he's stuck on one side of the field. If I had Matt Burton in my team, I'd be saying, mate, go wherever the ruck is. Like, you know, I know it's out of fashion. Left-right halves is a little out of fashion too, but he seems stuck on that left side.
Yeah.
And I'd say almost pin yourself to the halfback's hip and let's play, you know, 80s, 90s football. And I know maybe it's not as great for defensive setups and all that stuff, but he's a guy that you want on the ball, and he's not on the ball enough. When he's not yelling at other people to do stuff, which he's not, you know, the best in the world at, he's just hanging out waiting and just get the ball in his hands. Like, you know, almost play him like, I know Hines plays 7 for the Sharks, but do like that. Get him on the ball all the time and get him touching it all the time, because then he's going to be forced to run it. Then he's going to, you know, his passing game isn't as strong as Hines, but at least he can get the ball moving out of there instead of just hanging out on that left side, you know, scratching his legs.
100%.
As anything to add on the Doggies before we move on to who is after the Doggies? My slide's not working. As anything to add on the Dogs?
No, not really. I give us a chance against them as well. They didn't look all that great. Well, they looked all right against Para, but They've got like something like 12 centers in their squad, and they're playing them all in different positions. I think they've just, yeah, they've gone and signed so many utilities. I think every team's got a chance to beat the Dogs, and yeah, they might be in the conversation for the spoon after all.
A team a lot of people have in for the spoon and came out and smacked the Titans on the weekend, and they smacked us in the trials, and they look like Flanagan's really injected something into the team. They don't know what magic dust or something that he's given his players over at the Dragons. Not I'm alluding to anything that he did at the Sharks, but they do look revved up, ready to go. Benny, were you surprised by the Dragons?
I wasn't surprised by what they could put together, but I was surprised they did it in round one, if that makes sense. Like, I hate Shane Flanagan with a passion. I can't believe you can break as many rules as he has and the top sacred rules and still be allowed to coach. But that being said, the bloke can get stuff out of average players. You know, he's really good at finding blokes, aren't good, and that Dragons pack is full of average blokes that he's, you know, he'll be able to get them up to a level. Are they a top eight team? No, but I think they're going to, you know, tough it out against a lot of lower ranked teams and probably keep themselves around the middle.
As
I should give credit to Ben Hunt, who, you know, one of the better halfbacks who's sat on a maligned team for a long time. He might actually be able to, you know, play up a level now that he's got players who'll play up around him.
As we have them in Wollongong and Leichhardt
Campbelltown. This
year? Campbelltown. Damn it.
So, yeah, we've got them Campbelltown round six. So, fairly early in the season. That's only, what, 4-5 weeks away now. And then the rematch at Wollongong is the week after our second bye, where if they have any Origin players, they may not back up because this game is 2 days after Origin game one.
So we might not have Appy.
And they
won't have Ben Hunt.
Yeah, I guess it kind of pretty equal for both there. That'll be interesting factor there. But yeah, playing at Seatown, I don't know. Well, before the season started, look, I give us a chance. Even though they smacked us in the trial, I'll still give us a chance at Campbelltown, Rob.
Guys, I agree, like Saints are playing above what we expected, and full credit to Flanagan for what he's doing with some of those players, in particular Jaden Sewer, Moses Suli, guys that have just been dormant for a couple of seasons. But if we can't beat St. George, guys, we're not beating many of these other teams. Like, let's face it, they haven't recruited as well as, you know, like they've had a pretty poor recruiting off-season compared to all the rest of the comp. Their best 17 is adequate. They don't have a fast back line, although it is potent. But like Ben Hunt is everything to them. But I think as Tigers, what we should learn from them is when someone wants to leave the club, I know we've got Richo there now, so things will be different. But when someone wants to leave the club, you don't open the door and say, see you later, Charlie. If someone's worth it, you hang on to them. And they've done that with Ben Hunt because Ben Hunt's tried to get out of there twice in the last 9 months. And you can see his value to the team. I mean, if Ben Hunt was in our trial team when we played St. George, the score would have been the other way around. He's so integral to what they do. But yeah, I don't think they'll make the eight. But like, I tell you what, it just shows you what a coach with experience and confidence can do. Like, you can see Flanagan post-game after they played the Titans, his demeanour, his confidence, wasn't arrogant, but he's just very sure in what he does. And he's making some average players look very good, albeit early in the season. Let's see how they go when the season gets a little bit boring and they might have a couple of losses and see how they handle adversity. But they're going to have a lot of pep in their step the next few weeks. And, you know, good for them because their supporters have suffered almost as much as us.
Jess on Facebook asked, I know you've done the Dolphins already, but why can't Wayne get his team to work? I just think the Dolphins don't have the cattle for him. He's trying to beat Formula One cars with Toyota Corolla, but I could be wrong. There's a lot of young players, but anyone agree or disagree with me there?
You go.
I was going to say, it's hard to build a roster with 1 year's notice, you know, and that's showing, it showed in the back end of last year when the excitement of being the new team went, and, you know, they've done some nice recruiting for the future, but it's going to take a while. And losing Tom Gilbert hurts. He's really their forward leader. He led the Lions bleed last year, and when he got injured, it made it hard for them as a team to keep that intensity up. You know, Sean O'Sullivan didn't look as strong this yesterday or whatever, so a couple of days ago as it did late last year. And it's, yeah, I think it's just going to be recruitment for them, and it's going to be a long slog to get to where they need to be.
Rob?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, they bought well with, you know, Flegler and Herbie Farnworth, like a couple of Broncos there. Like, if you look at their best team, it is a good-looking team. They've got some potency there with the hammer in the back line as well. But, you know, some of their – it was very questionable. Like, Tessie New is at best a part-time winger, and they played him in the centres, and he's absolutely butt-awful. So they have got some weaknesses. But, they're like, for their second season, I mean, they were in the eight for most of last year before they fell apart at the end, and it just could be a thing of second-season syndrome. I'm a bit like Benny. I'm a bit sceptical to write off a Dolphins team with Bennett as coach, but I've got to be honest, guys. I think it's us and the Dolphins that will be fighting out the spoon. I don't think they're going that well at all, and I really think, you know, when we play the Dolphins, that should be a game we should be, you know, penciling as hopefully we get the win.
There's probably a factor in a lot of their stars being hot and cold players too. Like, when the hammer's on, he's unstoppable, but like we saw in Sunday football, gee, when he has a Barney, it's horrendous. So, like, you know, when you don't have a solid roster around that, when your star has a bad game, it really sinks the ship straight away.
If Josh doesn't mind me digressing, how the hell did the hammer score Dally M points? Like, mate, is that an absolute joke or what?
That was
Dally
crazy.
Dally M system.
Like, maybe it was for the try assist to Helium Lukey or something. I don't know, but he was awful. He got close to the line in the first half a couple of times, but he was having a bludger trying to catch the ball, and yeah, he was just awful.
In a team, and they lost by like 20 or something, didn't they?
I don't know how the system works, but I mean, surely the Cowboys get all the points there.
It's 3-2-1. Yeah, it shouldn't have been a Dolphins player.
Same as the old system, except now they've got two guys doing it each game instead of one, and it's twice as bad.
Mate, it sounds like Rowan Sims was both judges. Seriously, like, that was Appy Coruscant like from a few years ago. That was awful.
A bit of fun. We thought we'd heading into obviously Teamless Tuesday tomorrow. We'd put together what we think is our top 17, not necessarily what Benji will go with, although it looks like we've all gone. You didn't go Galvin, Rob and I did, but we'll get to that. We'll go through the team list. So basically, we picked our 17, our best 17 in our opinion. Obviously, all gone Baller. On the wings, we've all gone Lob City on one. And by the sounds of it, he might not get a crack straight away. We're all big Alex Lob fans. Rob and I have gone Tupou, but as you have gone Stainsy over Tupou.
Yep.
Care to explain?
I should have probably just gone straight into it. I think with Tupou going to the Dolphins next year, and I think Charlie's around for another year or two longer, that we probably are better placed giving him more of a run. And like I've said a few times, it was a little bit disappointing that he didn't get the game time last year. And it was largely because of that perforated bowel, I think it was, that he copped in that game against Manly at Campbelltown, which was obviously a really unfortunate incident to have happen. And then he just never really got back on the field. But I do like what I've seen from the Forbes Ferrari. I think there's a lot of potential there, and I think we haven't had a chance to really see that properly yet.
Yeah, I know it's probably not right saying this because he's taller than me, but I went with Tupou and Bob because they're bigger, stronger. I know Staines is a great finisher and that sort of thing, but yeah, even though Tupou's leaving, Rob, he's still the best option on the wing.
I think so. I mean, I can see an argument for Staines in the fact that if we're ever in a position to put someone in the clear, Staines can finish it off. You know, like, he's got the speed to get there. But given the style we're going to play, which is rather conservative, we're going to probably be using a lot of attacking kicks. You know, guys like Lob and Tupou, I mean, we should be putting up kicks for those, and not just like 5 metres short of the line like a lot of these stupid kickers do. Like, put them up in the in goal. Who cares about the seven tackle set, catch the ball, land on the ground, and it's a try. So I just think that might be some of our best options to scoring points. So I think the three-quarter line, as we've got it, like, is pretty – I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Like, Naden has that big right footstep, so you'd have Naden on the right, Ollam's the left centre. So I don't think we could really do much different with our back lines. That's my opinion anyway.
In the centres, we've all gone Ollam and Naden. So because we've all locked in on that one, Benny, do you think that's a good centre combination? By the sounds of it, they're going to go Stafford Toa over Naden. I don't know if Naden's healthy or not, but it sounds like it's going to be Ollam and Stafford Toa in the centres.
I won't be shocked if Benji goes very conservative with his team list, especially early on. Like, we all know Benji for his flash as a player, or we all remember him that way at least. But later in his career, he was quite conservative, and a lot of the stuff that was, you know, people heard coming out of the camp between him and Sheens was they saw, you know, team lists and structures quite differently, and Sheens was still playing, you know, Sheen's, you know, team lists at times. I think Benji's going to go a more conservative route. So, you know, Ollam's a lock there to get a spot because he's come from the Melbourne system.
Mm.
Yeah, the Naden one's a tough one. Like, if he's not fit, then it's obviously made. But I actually think the other way is the way to go. Then Naden might have more experience. I think, you know, I'd go with the other centre, and I can see Benji doing the same thing.
Anyone want to add anything on the centres? We're all big Naden fans, and I think he hasn't stayed healthy enough to have a good crack at the centres, but I think he's underrated. Yeah,
given that he hasn't played trials, I don't expect him to be named. I'm just saying, if all these guys are
this
fit,
is our best.
At their peak, I'd have Naden there because he's a dynamic runner of the ball. Like, he can he can play really well. He's just got to have his head screwed on.
I know the Ollam signing had a bit of controversy with non-Tigers fans. How did you guys feel about it when you signed it?
Heartbroken, crying like a little girl.
In case you're not aware, this is a Sean Bloor reference, Benny.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, it's like, I literally think he's just there because he comes from that system.
Mate, he's a premiership winner. There's a bit of a knock about, has he got suspect knees or injuries, and why the hell would Melbourne want to get rid of him if he's, you know, like, generally they get rid of people that aren't any good, which is fair enough, but a busted Justin Ollam, unfortunately, is better than anyone we have that can play centre at the moment. So I'm prepared to take the risk, although I appreciate that it is a risk.
Yeah, he's not the Ollam that he was, but, you know, when you bring a guy like that in, you're probably bringing in, you know, a reputation and stuff like that, and it's probably trying to inspire a few younger guys around him.
Exactly.
And if you're not going to play a guy like that, then what do you get him for?
Yeah, no, look, we're very thin in the back line, and to be fair, like, actually putting together this 17, I actually never realised how thin, in my opinion, we are in the forwards. You know, given that we've lost Sean Bloor, we've lost Joe Ofengawi, I found it very hard to name a number 16 and 17. Like, I was just like, I really don't want to pick these guys, but I just thought it was the best of a bad bunch. And I think we're going to need some of these guys from sort of, you know, roster position 21 to 30 to step up and, you know, really deliver for the Tigers, or it could be a long year.
Yeah, I think my team's in a pretty similar situation. It's just, if those guys aren't there, who do you play? And so I get that sentiment.
Yeah. What do you think, Aaron?
Yeah, I agree. It's really tricky to, like, think about what might happen. Obviously, we don't have to wait too long to find out, but I think what Benji's going to do is he's going to go based on the trials at first, I think, as much as he can. He probably won't change too much for at least the first little while. There's obviously a long season, a lot of footy ahead, and a lot of games to be played.
And I agree with that, Aaron, and that kind of just makes it very hard for me to swallow that we're not going with Aiden Caesar in our team list. Like, I just, unless he's injured, I just think this is the biggest curveball that's been thrown at us. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with Galvin and Sullivan training with each other, because you never know, maybe at some stage they do have to play together, or Caesar gets injured. So I don't think there's any harm in having a backup plan, but I would be so surprised, given we're heavily reliant on Caesar kicking the corners and being the general and leading us around the park. I just think it'd be a really gutsy move and possibly foolish move to drop him.
I've got a comment on Facebook from I think it's Cain Barnett. He said, are we not worried about bringing Galvin into full-time first grade too early? Could it possibly be a Luke Brooks situation? It's a good...
This is why he's not in my 17, Galvin, because I'm a little bit concerned looking at his age, looking at his size. It's a massive jump playing regular full-time first grade from what he's been playing in the junior grades. And I'm not sure that the game these days, with the speed of it and the lowered amount of interchanges, I'm not sure that it's suitable for younger guys to come straight into grade and play like regular, consistent first grade when they haven't been playing so for regular basis for like, you know, their career so far, because they're young. The game's a lot faster and it's a lot harder to get that consistency. So that's why I've left him out of my 17. I do believe that he is going to be the future in the halves pairing alongside Luai, but it's not because of a potential Luke Brooks situation. It's more that I wouldn't want to risk injuring him and not being able to see him live up to the hyped potential.
Yeah, I think this Barnett guy that's commenting, when it comes to speed, he might know that because he's got an older brother who's much quicker than him.
He sounds familiar. I think I might have used his member barcode
you have been
on grandstand, Josh.
You have been Kane Barnett. Yeah.
Is this Barnett been hanging around Gus Gould too much, mate? I think, because that's what Gus Gould's been, you know, trying to say, that, you know, we'd be pushing him early. But I totally disagree. If we're worrying about him getting injured, like, okay, how do we get around him? What do we do? Do we keep him in the gym for 2 years? Like, we just looked like a different team when he came on, especially for that second half in the trial against St. George. We played quicker. We played straighter. His timing of his passes was brilliant. I mean, sure, we've got to nurture him, maybe give him a week off every now and then. But, guys, we need him. He's got to start. He's just that good. I mean, I know it was only one trial, but if he can handle the workload defensively, I don't think we're in a position to just say, oh, who gives a shit about 2024? Let's just keep him in Reggie's. And what if he gets injured in Reggie's anyway? So, if I want him in the team. I really do.
So do I. I think he's – I get what Kane's saying here, but he's a big unit. He's 193 centimetres. He's not going to be bullied. It's very different to Luke Brooks. I think he's right, because we have been heartbroken by the whole Luke Brooks situation. We're told he was the next Andrew Johns, but yeah, I reckon he's ready to go. Galvin, get him in. And I also, we've got him for what, another 2 years? We've got to lock him. I want to see him play and earn a contract extension. Give him a pay rise and 3 more years, so we just lock him in and don't keep the prying eyes of the bloody Sydney Roosters off him.
Yeah, we do need to lock him up and keep him at the club long term. I still have my concerns, but I do see where you guys are coming from.
Statsman, already on Statsman. Rob Shadamas, I thought we'd mention your...
Reminding us of my losers.
I came third, got a podium, got a bonus bet back for Remarque.
Only got one out of three with the try scorers. Again, like, why Melbourne don't put those? Like, seriously, if you're playing Penrith with two midgets on the wing and you got Coates and Warbrick, just put those bombs in the in goal. Let them catch them and fall over and score. Stop putting them 3 metres out from the line. Like, it's just so stupid.
Just reiterating our tips. So Rob and I got three as one. And lower grades, Harold Matz. So obviously Harold Matz, a big day at Lickham Oval. I would have loved to have got out there, but had other commitments that I would have been probably ended up with a divorce if I had missed my sister-in-law's wedding on the weekend to watch lower grade Tigers games. But Harold Matz, 38-0, Magpies over the Tigers. and Magpies top of the table, Tigers at the bottom of the table there. SG Ball got up 40. Magpies got up 40-10 in SG Ball ladder. Magpies into the top four. Balmain a second last. Jersey Flegg, the West Tigers, got up 38-20 in their round one match over the Silktails of Fiji. And that leaves them in fourth position after round one. Tausha Gale and Lisa Fiaola teams had the bye. And Laurie Daly and Intradon's Cup is finished for the year. Shout-outs to our Patreon members, patreon.com/Westlife. If you want to become a member, or you can begin, like I said earlier in the show, Gussie is our inaugural YouTube member. You can do that as well if you want to join us in the Discord. Get all the inside info when we have special guests and that sort of thing. We get you to put in questions and that sort of thing. So if you want to support the show, support the boys out, go for it. Benjamin said the semi-final was actually a bye for Daily Johns. They actually have semi-finals next week. So I stand corrected.
I was about to mention that. Yeah, they a pre-finals bye.
Feel free to correct me, Az. Feel free, always. I'm an idiot. I always need it. Righto, next episode, Wednesday night. Finally a preview for Hemp's buzzer beater on the Super Chats. Brendan W. in Benji. Send us a few dollars. In Benji, we trust. Big team list tomorrow. Thank you, Brendan. Appreciate it, buddy. Love it. Thank you very much. Wednesday night, 8:30, we get to preview a West Tigers real game, finally, getting to the season. So, Benny, thank you so much for coming on tonight. It was good to get a non-biased perspective on the West Tigers, and we'd love to have you back on when we play your beloved Manly Seagulls in 4 months' August. Time.
My apologies for parachuting in late. I just didn't want to say no over and over again to the top eight teams. Exactly, boys. It was a good laugh.
Hey Benny, can I just ask a quick one? What's your take with Galvin? Would you play him tomorrow night? Like, would you name him in your team? Where do you sit with Galvin? Is he too young? Is he not good enough? Is he not big enough? What's your take?
If you'd asked me 12 months ago, I'd probably say too young, but I think Katoa has changed my opinion on that for what he did for the Dolphins last year. I thought he was probably too young up there and he was great for them. So between that and then like what happened with Schuster at Manly, I think you almost just want to throw guys in now. The one side that probably wasn't raised when you're talking about reasons not to play him is the media. And I think, unfortunately, the Tigers are a high media team. So if you throw that kid in and he has a rough game, the Telegraph are going to crucify him, which isn't fair to him because you need to let a half develop. But I think with his size and skill, even though he's young, I'd want to be getting him in there and seeing what you've got. And it doesn't look, there's a shadow now around if you go back down to second grade, and I don't think there should be. Like, you know, give him a couple of games and then say, you know, hey, you've had a taste, now go back and earn it.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I think he's an out and out halfback, but I think with that media speculation that you're talking about, if we play him as a six and Caesar is the general, I think he avoids a lot of that potential criticism that you're talking about because he won't have that reign of controlling the team. So I think it's really important that if he does start, that Caesar is the number seven.
Which is what Bennett was doing up at the Dolphins. He had O'Sullivan playing seven and Katoa in six. Yeah. And then unfortunately O'Sullivan went down and he had to step up and take the seven. But I think that's the path they were taking up there with a young player.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Righto, fellas, anything to add before a long episode? We've gone over tonight, but a very, very, very fun one. I saw Pete in the YouTube comments and he enjoyed tonight's show. Thank you to the literally hundreds of you that joined us live tonight on a buy round review. So we really appreciate that. And the thousands of you that listen on the YouTube and the audio versions of the show. So, yeah, thank you to all of you. If you are on the YouTubes, please like, subscribe. I assume you have already, but if you haven't, please like, subscribe, help the algorithm, share it. Get the numbers up for us. Really appreciate that. as well. Tell your friends to check us out. I mean, if you're listening on the audio as well, you can share the audio. Tell your friends. We can't wait to get to Leichhardt Oval next week.
As someone who works in media and advertising, a lot of my bread and butter is what you're talking about and so on. You know, I'll say for you, the only thing that our machine god overlords understand is likes, shares, and watch time. And that like button is really important. Most people think it isn't. But, you know, your watch time and likes are really important, so throw them a like.
Thank you. Good to have some professionalism on the show.
Thanks for coming on.
Someone actually knows what they're talking about. Right, yeah, Benny. Well,
when we want likes, mate, we just bash our management and we get likes, we get newspaper articles.
You bully them into being fired by their own board.
Yeah, we ask for legal action. We ask for it all. We love it.
We almost get sued ourselves.
Exactly. Mate,
you guys set the agenda in the news these days. We all know the truth. What would the Telegraph do without cheap podcast stories?
Exactly. Thanks, Benny.
Cheers, boys. Appreciate having me on.
And always, you don't have to join in this one. What are the Eagles? Do you go fly, Eagles, fly? What's your – we're about to say, Al.
No, the Eagle Rock, mate.
Eagle Rock.
Yeah, okay.
Either that or you stand on the hill next to the weird guy with the push it up Manly sign and no one knows what push it up means. What are you pushing up?
Right, you just the Eagle
– Does
you
the
drop
Dax
to the floor, the Eagle Rock.
Does the guy with the everybody hate don't worry we hate you too sign, is he at home and away games or does he just travel?
Mate, he's at home and away games and there's a photo of me and my best mate when he was wandering around at the 2011 grand final standing in front of that sign giving everyone the finger that was on our Facebooks for a while.
Of course.
Righto, fellas, and we'll see everyone Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. As always, go the Tigers.
Go the Tigers.
Go the Tigers.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Westlife Podcast. Please follow us at Westlife Pod on Instagram and Twitter and facebook.com/Westlife Pod. You can also support and take part in the show at patreon.com/Westlife and give us a subscribe on YouTube and turn notifications on. We'll see you again next time on another episode of the Westlife Podcast.